I'm living by faith in Jesus above. I'm trusting, confiding in His great love. From all I'm saved in His sheltering love, I'm living by faith. Shadow or sunshine or rain, hallelujah. And Lord, I know, Lord, over everything, and all of my worries in me. Oh, are you living by faith in Jesus above? Trusting, confiding in His great love. From all I'm saved in His sheltering arms, I'm living by faith and fear over love. Hallelujah, the tempest may blow and the storm clouds arise, obscuring the brightness of light. Overcast skies, the Master looks on at my strength. Oh, I'm living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love. From all I'm saved in His sheltering.
God bless you, and thanks for coming this morning. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for once again granting us this good privilege to stand as your people, fellowshipping and meeting each other, encouraging each other, and drawing from the great source of life, which is you, our Lord. We thank you for this Sunday morning, and we believe, O Lord, that it will be a great blessing standing in your presence, O Lord. You know, we know you always answer and meet our needs. We came as a needy people. You know each and every one of us, our hearts and our hidden secrets, O Lord. Grant us according to your will, and may your will be done in our lives, O Lord. Let us now be lifted together in the heavenly places where all the things, the business of this life will be left behind. And let us, O Lord, behold your face, because it is from standing and beholding your face, shutting down from everything else, that we can get to your image, to be like you are, O Lord. Now help us, bless your people, bless the whole service, O Lord. We commit it into your hand. Those who are fellowshipping through technology from their homes, from their workplaces, from their cars, from wherever they are, let them have the same anointing, and let it be a real blessing to them also. We thank you, and we commit everything into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Let's open our Bibles, Isaiah chapter 6, 1 to 8. God bless you richly this morning for coming, and may your presence here be a real blessing, and may God grant you according to your needs. Amen. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings, with twain to cover his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another, and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal on his hand, which he had taken with the tongues from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this has touched your lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Brother D, God bless you. Happy to see you again. Amen. Thank the Lord first. I think it was Ezekiah's birthday Monday, yeah? When was it? Wednesday, okay. And it's Amani's birthday today. So we are so thankful to the Lord for... And Zach as well. Yeah, they are miracle babies, you know. I thank the Lord for what Amani has been to our family, because it was not a happy news when we knew that Amani was coming. We were sad. Amen. It was really sadness. We didn't celebrate that news because baby was facing, it was a very dark stage of her life. You know, she was thin like this, you know. You remember that time. She was losing weight day after day, and we didn't know what was going on. And in the middle of that, she got pregnant. We didn't know how it will end. And it was a challenge up to the end. You know how Amani was born. He was dead for 7 minutes and came back to life. You know, but he just realized that, especially after Eli, Amani came, God knew that Amani had to come because he is a blessing to the family. And he's the one who is now bringing Eli back to the family, you know. God is helping him. Eli is learning now to speak through Amani. Oh, yeah. Amen. You know, so because Amani is a kind of a talkative, you know, he likes a cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha. And Eli is now picking words, and he's the only person that brought Eli back, because Eli was living in a bubble, you know. He was alone in his own world. But from the disputes that arise from trying to get the toy, I want it, I want this one, and he learned now to fight back. You know? Because Amani is a kind of, is very authoritative, you know. I want this, I want. And Eli, when he wants his thing, so, no, I don't want, no, I want. So I say, oh, now we can argue, you know. He knows how to talk. You know, he's learning through Amani. So I really believe that God knew that he had to be a blessing for the family. Sometimes in our own plans, in our own agendas, we don't know what to expect. We are sad for something, but he is a real blessing to the family. Amen. So today we are going to close this teaching, this topic on... staying alone with God, but today we are going to title it In His Presence. I have a few slides there, and I hope it's going to help us through. I hope it's going to be a blessing to us and to someone, because we need really, as we come into the presence of the Lord, as we eat the manna, we want really that manna must become life in us. But the manna will become life only if you eat it from the right place. Amen. If you eat it from the right place, then it will have a difference. It will have an impact in you. So, Brother Vegas, do you have a clicker? So, we read there, the prophet says, how beautiful that is of the Holy Spirit, our sustaining strength to carry the church out. If they fail to eat that manna, they died. And if we fail to eat on the Holy Ghost, we die. If we fall to pray through daily, amen. If we fail to pray through daily, all the time, keep under the blood, you will wither up and die in your Christian experience. It's a daily thing. It's a daily something that you have to eat our manna, our spiritual manna, every day. Amen. But that manna, it depends on where you are eating it from. Remember in the tabernacle, can I have the clicker? It's not, no. Okay, if you can even move it from me there, if it doesn't. Okay. You remember Brother Andrew was showing us this, I took it from his slides. You know, it was the same manna they were eating. It was the same manna that came down from heaven. But when eaten outside in the outer court, it had a different effect than when it was eaten from the holiest place. The result depended on from where you were eating your manna. Amen. That one who entered the third compartment, he was eating the manna, but that manna had a different impact on him. It produced a different result. The other person who was eating the same manna from outside, from the outer court, he could eat the manna, but it didn't have the same effect. So when we eat our daily manna, just remember from where you are eating it. That's why we need that staying alone, entering that closet. Brother Andrew was talking on Wednesday about that your closet. Enter your closet and close the door behind you. You need, as a believer, find your closet. It's not necessarily a physical place. But you must find that place, that closet. That physical place which helps you to enter in that third court, where you can now eat the manna from the presence of the holy of the holiest. Amen. So eating that manna, reading your Bible, praying, fellowshipping, communing with God, it depends. The result depends. Are you really breaking through into that realm from which when you eat the manna, the result is a lasting result. Is an everlasting life, result in your life. Amen? So it's very important for you to understand, to enter into that closet, shut the curtains behind you, and fellowship with God. So these people, they were happy out there eating the manna. Because as long as their stomachs were full, they were happy. But that high priest who could enter into there,
he could notice the difference between that manna out there. Because let's say the manna fell in the morning, and if he entered in the evening time, out there he left the manna, it was rotting already. But in there he can find the manna was still fresh and alive. Amen. Amen. So that's what we are talking about. There was another manna. There was another experience, same experience, but in a different manner. This is the scene of the multiplication of bread. Amen. The people were there eating the bread. They were happy eating the bread, eating the manna. They were there fellowshipping around, you know, Jesus is a good person. We eat the bread, we met, you know. But they failed to notice that there was, can it show there? No. There was another bread. The true bread was there. Amen. Amen. They were eating the bread from the outer court. They were eating the manna in the outer court. While in the holiest place, there was the show bread. The person of Jesus Christ himself. Amen. That's why he was saying, I am the bread of life. They failed. People failed to understand that instead of eating the manna from the outer court, which was the bread that boy brought, there was the true bread of life standing there. And the tabernacle was standing there in a spiritual form. They were fellowshipping with Jesus from the outer court, eating a manna whereby the next day they would come and follow Jesus again. Give us again that bread. But Jesus was calling them to enter into the holiest of holies, into himself, to have a fellowship with Jesus Christ in the spirit, where they could eat the true manna, where they could eat him the bread of life. So we had there the representation, the tabernacle that Moses built in the desert. We had it in the scene represented there. The outer court, where they were eating and rejoicing and so forth. But the holiest place was there. And it was not easy to get there because entering the, remember, in the holiest place in the Old Testament, God made it not easy for people to enter there. You know what he did? They put a badger skins. Before you enter the holiest place, there was a badger skin, and it was smelly. It was stinky. It was not easy to penetrate. You know, outside there, it was fun. People there with their perfumes, you know, very nice people. The more you approach, the more it becomes smelly. The more the experience becomes difficult to bear. Because the more you go, they were killing animals there. You know, they were excrement, they were blood, and the smell was getting a bit funny. But when you go closer to the holiest place, the badger skins there. And Jesus, he didn't make easy for them to, you know, it was not a fun experience to accept, to enter into Jesus. When he said, come and eat my flesh, the people found it as a stumbling block. The badger skin was there preventing them. It took faith, it took, you know, really real commitment to accept and enter behind the skin, enter and go and eat the fresh manna that will give you eternal life. So from where are you eating your manna? Amen. From this scene, we'll see that there were people out there eating the manna from the outer court, rejoicing. Ah, Jesus is a good man. I believe the message. Ah, my church, very good. Ah, I like the pastor. Ah, I like the minister, the preaching of the word. They were rejoicing. But remember, the place from which you are eating your manna determines your spiritual experience. Because these same people, they ate the manna, they were happy, they rejoiced. But it's the very same people, when it was asked between Barabbas and Jesus Christ, who are you choosing? The very same people, they say, give us Barabbas. Amen. They ate the manna, but from outside, from the outer court. That's why when they ate the manna from there, they didn't have that intimate fellowship with Jesus Christ from the behind the veil. That's why anything that would come, any storm that will arise, it will shake you. Whether it is from the economy collapsing, whether it is from your job failing, whether it is from your family business, whatever, anything out there. Even these people, they believed, you know, Jesus fed them. Jesus healed their sicknesses. Jesus gave them so many, they had so many testimonies from Jesus' ministry. But because of a Barabbas, a killer, the influence, you know, from a politician trying to influence them, Pontius Pilate. A politician, you know, decision from the government, and the government, you know, promoting, you know, some hidden agenda, promoting immorality in society. Those simple things may bring you to deny your testimony. These people denied their testimony. Just they chose a killer instead of a life giver. Why? Because they ate the manna, not from within the veil. Reading the Bible is good. Praying is good. But are you breaking through in that alone with God place? In that place where the world is left behind? Where it's only you and him in an intimate fellowship. Amen. There was another one. He ate the manna too. He went a little bit further. His name was Judas Iscariot. It's very important, my brethren. Amen. It's very important to understand these things. From where are you eating your manna? Judas was amongst the 12. He went a little bit further. He was not in the outer court. He ate his manna from the inner court. Amen. From the holy place. You know, he was a very good brother in church, a trustee, a man of in whom they could trust. He made miracle. He could preach. He could sing in church. He could do this. He could do that. But when something arose, you know, Judas, his experience was a bit different from the other ones. These ones, it was a politician, you know, it was a music star, a pop star. But Judas, it was actually the ministers that made Judas to deny his experience. It was the high priest. It was the Levites. It was the Sanhedrin that came and gave Judas, proposed him something, suggested him something. Look, from the minister, you know, we are the ministers, you know. We are we are the authorities of the church, you know. Can you just do this? And Judas, since he didn't eat the manna from the inner court, from the holiest place, you know, is attitude. Remember, in the temple, in the tabernacle, the light in the holy place depended on the mood of the priest. You remember that? Because it was candlesticks. If the priest is happy that day, he say, I'm going to pour oil. You go and pour the oil and light the light. There was light. But if that day the priest overslept and he forgot to put the oil, it will be dark. So that was the kind of believer that are influenced by the attitude of the pastor.
Yes,
sir. When he noticed a weakness in the pastor, it influenced its experience also with God. You are eating your manna from the inner, from the holy place. Your spiritual experience depends on how the pastor is going to react. What did the pastor do? What did the minister say? They preached something against me. I'm not going to church. That was the kind of a believer like Judas Iscariot. He was happy eating from the holy place, eating from where, this and that. But when the ministers now came and did something that didn't please him or please him or influenced him, a move started somewhere, he was easily moved. Amen. From where are you eating? That's very important. Your experience shouldn't depend on, you know, what at the pastor's attitude. He's a man. He can fail you somewhere. So the day he fails you, you say, oh, I'm not going to church anymore. Or the day they come here and they smash you with a very good sermon there, targeting you. Of course, we are not targeting people. But sometimes you just say, many times it happened to me, sitting there and say, ah, today Brother Andrew is after me. Even after the sermon, I just called, Brother Andrew, why? What have I done? You know, my brother, it was not about you. You know, sometimes poor man, you know. Sometimes, you know, it's not easy, this job. So, will you be influenced by this kind of things? Because you are eating your manna based on someone else's experience. But there were people who ate the manna from the inside. They entered the holiest place. It was a different experience for them. That's why even when the same priest that influenced Judas Iscariot to sell Jesus, when they came now after Simon, Peter, and James in the temple, they forbid them to preach in the name of Jesus. They say we better obey God than obey men. Amen. Why? Because they had a different experience. They ate the manna from the place where they had that experience on a one-on-one basis. It was something different from anything else. That's why they could give their life, their heads to be cut off. Why? Because there was nothing that could shake them from what they've experienced. They've eaten their manna from the inside, from the most holy place. So we were there comparing just the two tabernacles. So there were people who entered that place. We have just read there in Isaiah chapter 6. The prophet Isaiah, if you go and listen to the message, influence. The prophet Isaiah, first of all in his life, he was fellowshipping with God based on someone else's experience. He was influenced by the king Uzziah. He was influenced under that young king, and he was not entering himself into, he didn't enter that place until God noticed that this man I need to move this thing out of his life. And then he shifted his focus into entering the presence of God. And when the prophet Isaiah entered the presence of God, when he entered in that one-to-one fellowship with God, we've just read there, it changed his life completely. It was a completely different experience. Let's strive, my brethren, to enter into that fellowship. There's many examples we can give. Jacob, he was a good man. He had good dreams, seeing angels coming back and down. You can have a good experience here, speak in tongue, you know. But if, as long as you have not met God face to face like Jacob, he had a dream, he saw the gate of heaven, he saw this. But nothing had changed. His name was still Jacob. Yes, but the time he entered into that presence, on that one-to-one, on that, you know, intimate fellowship, the next morning, even his walk has changed. Amen. Even his name had changed. That's why when he went, amen, when he went to meet Pharaoh asking him, how old are you? He said, the days of my pilgrimage were 130 years. But the days of my life were very few. Why? The days of his life started the day he entered into that one-to-one fellowship.
Amen.
Amen. When you enter into that place, it makes a difference. He says, then he was alone with God. What a beautiful picture it is today of a consecrated life who once entered into with Christ, dead to the things of the world, hid away with God, and the veil dropped down around, and the world shut off. Then Christianity and religion become a pleasure to every believer.
Amen.
Amen. When you enter into that realm, coming to church, it becomes fun. Coming to church, it becomes a pleasure.
Amen.
Reading your Bible is not a burden anymore. It becomes a pleasure. Because you are fellowshipping from within.
Amen.
Amen. They won't push you. They won't shout out to you after you. Don't come late to church. Because when you are fellowshipping from within, the people that fellowship him from within Manchester United, the day before the game, they know even what the composition of the team will be. The day before, they say, who is not playing? Who is going to score? That Saturday, the match is next day, Sunday. Who else are there? I know those guys there. Ferdinand, yeah? Rio Ferdinand. Rio Ferdinand is not going to play. This one is playing. That one is playing. The day before. And the day of the game will start at 2 p.m. 9 p.m. they are sitting there. Rain, snow, whatever happened, they are there. It's a pleasure. And they don't even feel it because they'll be there singing. They'll be there when they say, go marching in. I have those songs in the stadiums. I say, okay, they're worshiping, yeah? God bless you. It's time. Let's just close our eyes. I believe these things will help us as we go along. Amen. Lord, we commit these few words into your hands. Bless your people, O Lord. We believe, Heavenly Father, that listening these things is not just making a good sound in our ears, but they are entering in our souls, and they will produce the result you want it to produce, O Lord. Now we commit the service into your hand. Bless the song leader. Bless the musicians. Bless every single one of us here, O Lord. Let us make this service a success, O Lord, by our focus on the real thing, which is you, the Holy of Holies. Lord, take now control as we commit everything into your hands in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you.